Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Jeffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we've been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
Which is what prompted us to start this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Hi everyone, welcome back. It's Molly.
And I'm Jeffrey Wansell, and welcome back to the second part of what promises to be a very dramatic podcast.
Yeah, part two of Ted Bundy.
Hmm.
I was really into part one.
But the second part of Bundy is even more dramatic, believe you not or not. So now we know that Bundy has escaped from his trial for murder in Aspen, Colorado, which would have brought him the death penalty.
So he's like fully escaped from...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, everyone, we're just launching straight into part two.
Well, it's the story continues.
Yeah, no, I agree. So he's escaped, and so he could have been put to death.
Yes.
And at this point, how many murders are they aware of him?
At this point, only three.
Okay.
So
where is he now? He's taken an aeroplane.
He's taken an aeroplane to Chicago. He eventually ends up in Florida, Tallahassee, Florida. Another university town.
Man likes to travel.
He does, but also he likes to cross state lines because the police don't tend to inform each other of one state to another.
Mm.
He finds himself in Tallahassee and sets down what roots he has in a university town.
And have the police have not, like, released pictures of him or people?
Well, he doesn't get onto the most wanted list, FBI's most wanted list, until after the escape.
Okay.
It's quite a long time. You see, at the moment, he's simply being tried or being sought for trials in individual states.
Okay. Have the laws changed since then?
They have. Yes, they have. It's slightly different now. But, so now we have him in Tallahassee. In a way, he reverts to type. On January the 14th, he gets there in the first week of January, 78. On the 14th of January, he breaks into a sorority house called the Chi Omega Sorority House, which is basically student apartments, okay, very close to the university campus. And in the space of 15 minutes, using a tree limb, which is picked up outside in the garden, he kills two women and badly wounds two others. Margaret Bowman and Lisa Levy are dead. Karen Chandler and Kathy Kleiner survive.
That's kind of quite a different MO for him.
It is. But right at the beginning, the first attack, right at the beginning in 74, the first attack we know of in January 74, that was a break-in.
Okay.
And he hit...
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah. But not only that... He said later that he couldn't stop himself, but he wasn't. But he also made what proved to be the one fatal mistake. He assaulted the two dead women, and in particular, he bit the buttocks of Linda Levy, leaving very identifiable bite marks. He didn't even call it a day then.
And he didn't take them anywhere, he just left
them. No, he just left them. The following month, on the 9th of February 1978, in Lake City in Florida, he killed his last known victim, probably the most poignant of all, a girl called Kimberly Leach, who was only 12. I think by this time, Bundy was on an absolute jag. And I think the phrase he used to say he couldn't stop himself was... true. By now, Bundy's face, at least the face that they know, is he's become a, a wanted, FBI most wanted. For that period at the beginning of 1978, he appears on the FBI's 10 most wanted list.
Okay.
Although it's fascinating, his ability to change his how he looked in just the tiniest way. Move the parting, alter the colour of his eyebrows, you know, all sorts of strange things. Anyway, yet again, as is so often the case, on the 15th of February, he's pulled over in Pensacola, in Florida, by a traffic cop.
Again.
And this time, he's found with all sorts of stolen credit cards. He refuses to say who he is. Gives him a false name. He calls himself Kenneth Matter, I think. Just pretends, as he always did, in an effort to escape. But this time, he's taken into custody. And Bundy finally acknowledges who he is after a phone call to Liz Klerpfer, who's still back in Seattle. And in May, the hearing of Bundy's trials. Now, it's still a confusion about exactly how many people he's killed and exactly is he guilty of the Chi Omega killings, in other words, because that's what confronting the Florida State Authority, those two killings in Chi Omega sorority house. The judge decides that it's too high profile a trial because of the intimate nature of this quite a small town, Tallahassee. He moves the trial to Miami, big town. And by now, the police are quite convinced that he's also killed Kimberly Leach, the 12-year-old. So he's first of all stands trial for Margaret Bowman and Linda Levy. And he's subsequently going to stand trial for Kimberly Leach. But let's deal with the first two first. Bundy, and I do recommend the court footage. It is absolutely extraordinary. Bundy conducts his own defence. He's got a team of lawyers, but he insists on overriding them. Every time they say, well, we don't got to cross-examine that witness, he says, oh, yes, I am, and gets up. It becomes an absolute parody. His defence attorney, he fires him, but he has to stay there because the judge insists he remains there. And Bundy's up and down on his feet throughout the trial, you know, the lawyer defending himself. His only problem is a forensic odontologist who identifies
the teeth marks.
And it's at that point that Bundy really does begin to run out of road. He can throw doubt on what policemen saw what and he was guilty for this. But those bite marks, in the end...
They don't lie.
Do not lie. And he's a very convincing witness, too. This is the first television, big televised trial in American judicial history.
No wonder he's such a kind of big name.
Everybody, I mean, like OJ, but yeah. He was before OJ. You know, everybody was hypnotised. It's all on television and there's Bundy... Being his own lawyer.
We don't do that, do we?
No.
We don't put court cases on.
Well, you can. The Supreme Court is televised. But so we don't do High Court, Crown Court trials.
Do you think you should have them on telly?
I'll take that on advisement for another podcast.
Okay. TBD.
Yes. To be continued. While he's in jail, he's found guilty, incidentally, of the two killings in Tallahassee. And because Florida is a death penalty state, he's offered a plea bargain. If he pleads guilty, he'll simply serve the rest of his life in jail. Bundy turns it down. You can see his mind is working. I've got out of this before. I'll get out of it again.
Crazy. You're not going to get out of this one, though.
Well, so now he's moved to a stand trial again, this time for Kimberly Leach, the 12-year-old.
Still in Miami.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think it was in Orlando. Forgive me. It was still in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. Ted befriends, quotes... a girl called Carol Ann Boone, who becomes...
Befriends her where?
When he's in jail. Yes. How many times have we seen this? Women fascinated
by
killers.
To be fair, I did listen to a very good podcast I would recommend to everyone called Ear Hustle, and they do a whole, which is in a prison, and it's all about being in prison, and they do a whole podcast about meeting women in prison.
Well, Carol Ann Boone becomes Ted Bundy's character witness in both trials. First of all, the trial of Margaret and Linda, and then in the trial of
Kimberly. She says he's absolutely charming and couldn't possibly have done it.
It's completely outrageous, and he's terribly good. And how could anybody think someone as upright as Ted Bundy could have committed all these absolutely dreadful crimes? At this point, of course, the true reality of what Bundy had actually done hadn't come to the surface.
Still, people don't know that.
We don't know that it was
so
Bundy.
At the moment, we've got a kidnap. The sorority girls and like 3 or 4 other murders.
Yeah. But we haven't got this
anywhere near
what Bundy had done and was capable of doing. For example, the details of the fact that he used to keep the heads of some of his victims in his flat. The fact that he went back and had necrophiliac relationships with the dead women.
Yeah.
None of that had come to the surface at this point. In fact, it was some time before it did. It was only subsequent to his second conviction, and I'm not going to go into the details of Kimberly Leach, it's actually quite straightforward. He was found guilty, and by this time he's already been found guilty of the two sorority girls. And it's obvious, blatantly obvious, that this is a pattern that Bundy has got. You know, Bundy is convicted again and gets another death penalty, so we've now got 3 death penalties: the 2 sorority girls and Kimberly Leach in Florida. Bundy fights a very long, complicated rearguard action against the convictions. And while he's doing so, he finds time, and I think perhaps it's the only interesting part of the Kimberly Leach trial. While Bundy, who is conducting his own defence again, this time he hasn't even got another lawyer, it's just Bundy, he speaks to Kimberly Leach, speaks to Carol Ann Boone on the witness stand and says, will you marry me?
What, during the trial?
Yes, during the trial. He's discovered a loophole in the Florida law which says that if he proposes in front of a judge and the woman accepts, he's married. So he marries Carol Ann Boone.
No. Does she know that she's marrying him as she says yes?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. It gets better.
Oh, my goodness.
It gets truly better. If you like the gruesome. Anyway, Ted is on death row now because he's got 3 death penalties.
Yeah.
And Carol goes to visit him. And wonders of wonders, is pregnant. Now, this speculation about how she got pregnant is literally endless. But I think my 2 favourites are, one, that Bundy bribed the guard for a conjugal visit, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the other very elaborate one is that she smuggled in a condom in her mouth. And when she kissed him, she passed it to him.
Oh, lordy.
And then when she visited again,
he gave it back to her. Okay.
You can imagine the details. I'm not going to go into them.
We don't need to go into that. I mean, that is a lot of work.
Never mind. Carol gives birth.
Oh, Carol. Well done, you.
A daughter, Bundy's daughter, Rose. And there are a series of absolutely hypnotic photographs of the 3 of them in jail. You know, Bundy was smiling at the camera, holding his daughter, Carol looking on.
I'm going to have to Google this.
Well, I do recommend it. It is literally hypnotic.
Ted, Carol and Rose Bundy.
Yes. So by February the 10th, 1980, Bundy has his 3rd death penalty for the killing of Kimberly Leach. He's now married with a daughter. He's in jail and he's fighting.
I mean, this picture doesn't even look like he's in jail.
Well, it is in jail, taken in jail.
That's mad.
Well, it is an extraordinary story.
That is mad, mad, mad.
So, gradually, Bundy wants to stave off the execution. He's staving it off. So he's drip-feeding police officers details of what he might or might not have done. Gradually. In an effort to just, oh, well, you need to investigate this. It's like a drip-feed of small confessions. He then asks to see a pastor who says, oh, it was pornography that made me do it. Really? Oh, well, yeah, certainly Bundy had an appetite for pornography, particularly violent pornography, but that doesn't turn you into a serial killer. Because by this time, remember, we're talking about 11 victims in Washington State, 8 victims in Utah, 3 of whom were unidentified, 3 in Colorado, 3 in Florida, 2 in Oregon, 2 in Idaho, and probably 1 in California.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
By the time it gets to Bundy's eventual execution, he has actually confessed to 30 murders, not the 60 I'm convinced he actually committed, or more. It's at this point that Carol actually loses her temper with Bundy.
Carol.
And cuts off all communication. 1986, she cuts off all communication with him. Because it's quite obvious by now that he isn't.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
An upright, clean-cut law student is actually a monster. A real, proper monster hiding in plain sight. The last 3 years of his life, Bundy tried his best to stave off still further the execution, did eventually, just before his final day, confess to authorities about at least 30 killings. And significantly, when asked whom he wanted to, you know, his final phone call, he asked to speak to Carol Ann Boone, mother of his daughter Rose, and she refused to take the call. Bundy was executed in the early hours of, I think it was January, I'll be sure in a moment.
What method of execution?
He wasn't lethal injection, it was the electric chair.
Ugh.
He was executed on January the 24th, 1989, at the age of 42. Outside the prison, there were a fantastic number of demonstrators shouting, "Burn, Bundy, burn." The hearse that was taking his body away was attacked. I mean, Bundy had become, well, a hate figure would be one way of putting it.
Well, that whole, his behaviour... It's such a funny thing, isn't it? Like, to behave in such a kind of extraordinary way and do such evil things.
Yes,
people must have felt so...
Well, the one thing Bundy said of himself, which I think is very revealing, he said, "I am the most cold-hearted son of a bitch you'll ever meet." And he also said, "Guilt doesn't solve anything, really, and I don't suffer from it."
I mean, you can't feel any kind of remorse or guilt or feel anything, really, can you, if you behave like that?
I don't think you can.
I think you...
His biographer, Anne Rule, who'd met him in Seattle, said of him, "He is a sadistic sociopath who took pleasure from other humans' pain and the control he had over his victims to the point of death and even after it." His last defence lawyer, a woman called Polly Nelson, called him the very definition of heartless evil. He was finally assessed psychologically as having an antisocial personality disorder, which meant, and one or two of the people that knew him described him as suddenly going weird on you. He would be all sweetness and light, and then he would suddenly go all odd.
Turn.
He was an egotistical monster. And Bundy always blamed everybody else. He would blame, oh, my mother didn't tell me I was illegitimate, or my grandfather abused me, or, oh, it's because I didn't know my father. I only discovered I was a bastard by accident. Always, oh, I drank too much. Or it was never, Bundy never accepted, not once, that he actually was quite a murdering machine.
Have other serial killers admitted that?
What, admitted their killings?
No, admitted that they're, you know, they don't, do they? I can't think of any examples of people being like, yes, I am truly evil. Than people who kill like that.
No, I don't think Bundy ever called himself evil. I think he certainly said, I'm a cold-hearted son of a bitch.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, do people who have that personality in order to become serial killers ever say at the end of it when they're in prison and like, oh yes, I did do some bad things. At that point, if you've killed 60 people, you can't at any point be like, oh yeah, no, actually that was wrong. Surely you just never ever think you're wrong.
I don't think he ever thought he was wrong. I think he thought he was entitled.
Did he just think that life was just worth nothing?
I think he thought those women's lives were worth nothing. They were only there for his pleasure, for him to torment them and to take their lives and to mutilate them. You know, it's the dreadful things he did to the poor women. I mean, dreadful. He always assaulted them with objects. I mean, this is absolutely horrible man who looked exactly the opposite.
He looked so normal.
He looked incredibly normal. It wasn't until you were in his clutches that you realised just how horrific he was.
Scary.
And if you were a man, Bundy hadn't much interest in killing men. He liked to kill vulnerable women, young women, many of whom looked not unlike Stephanie Brooks. But there is a sort of wonderful, kind of sad coda. Bundy's daughter, Rose, who'd been born on October the 28th, 1982, while Bundy was on death row in Florida. Bundy served as a sort of a father figure to the daughter. But in 1986, as I said, Carol finally divorced Bundy.
Cut contact with him.
Cut the contact. She and Rose left Florida for Washington State. She was devastated by his final confessions. And cut off all contact with him, including the final telephone call. Carol and her daughter Rose changed their names, and neither of them have ever spoken about Bundy. They completely went off the radar. Endless attempts by investigative journalists
to
find them have all failed.
Did they have help, like witness protection help?
I don't think they did.
They just disappeared.
I think they just did it.
They went off grid.
It's worth remembering that Rose would now be 36. Somewhere.
My age.
Yes.
Almost. Exactly.
Almost yours. Yeah, it would now be 36. And is living somewhere, presumably in America, under an entirely different name. It is one of the abiding mysteries of this extraordinary case. But let's just sum up Bundy for a minute. He is plausible, chameleon-like, and yet admitted killing 30 women in 7 states. He used all manner of devices, including fake plaster casts, pretending to be a policeman. On another occasion, he pretended to be a fireman. He was quite good at pretending to be a figure of authority. He was very conscious of forensics long before the DNA became so vital, or indeed CSI appeared on television.
He didn't leave...
There was not one fingerprint.
Not one fingerprint?
Not one fingerprint. He never left any fingerprints.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is. When you consider that the Chi Omega killings, he's inside the building, he's got a tree, lump of tree, which he kills two women with and tacks two others. It's...
To be very thorough.
He was very meticulous. It was spontaneous, as you quite rightly pointed out to me in the last podcast. He was spontaneous killing, but it was meticulous planning.
Yeah.
Some people, and it's worth saying this, believe that Bundy was innocent.
What?
Yes, that's ridiculous. I agree, but there are some, and it's worth pointing this out, who regard Bundy as being used as a scapegoat for all sorts of killings across the country. I think the similarity...
Is
just too much to...
That's crazy.
But it's nevertheless... and I think that's one of the reasons why we've never heard from Carol Boone, Mrs. Bundy.
I would never talk to people if I did what she did.
Yes. Including getting pregnant for some... way or another.
Poor Rose Bundy. You just never asked for that. Do you think you just spend your whole life worrying that you're...
What, you're going to be found out?
No, that your genes are, like, wrong. Do you believe in that?
I don't really. The evil gene argument, I don't. I mean...
I would just feel creeped out the whole time.
I think you would feel pretty creepy. I agree with that, but...
Your dad did something so...
Well, so relentless. Awful. He was remorseless. Absolutely remorseless killer. And if you think it's only between 74 and 79, the period of which we know the victims, but I'm almost sure he was killing 6 years before that.
Well before.
You know, he was utterly relentless. And under this cloak of ordinariness, of this not dark cloak, it was a cloak of pure... Oh, how nice to see you, Molly. Bundy would just get into that. Oh, I wonder if you could help me. I've got a bad leg and I just need help to get in my car. And then when you're bending down to help him, whatever it is,
put
out of the trunk.
Something in the boot.
Yeah,
bonk on the head.
Yes, and off you go to suffer a fate that is unimaginable. Imagine the terror that those young women must have suffered. I mean, it is indescribable terror. I mean, they were brutalised. Eventually killed, often with nylon stockings and ligature. But no, their bodies were abused. They were, you know, and they were left and kept as tokens. As you know,
that's so messed up.
It is. But it underlines why I think that, in a way, Bundy is America's worst serial killer.
Yeah, but how did were there further psych evaluations? Yes, you said there was one that he said antisocial behaviour.
Yeah.
Whatever, personality.
Antisocial personality disorder.
That's it.
Yeah.
But how is it, I mean, that's extraordinary that the first psych evaluation they were like, he's totes normal.
Well, it's not extraordinary. I can think of a lot of psych evaluations in this country which have been conducted by very reputable psychiatrists and psychologists. And have consistently got things wrong. I mean, look at the argument about the bailing of John Warboys
when
the parole board wanted. Look at the parole board's decision to let out the paedophile woman this week. I mean, when is a psych evaluation absolutely dependable? The answer is it isn't.
Never.
It can't be.
Yeah.
It is always a matter of judgment.
Yeah.
And if you present as well and as carefully and as cunningly, and I think it's a good word to use for Bundy, as cunningly as Bundy, it's quite difficult to see through the mask. Mm. It's quite complicated. But I do think, and I bears repeating, I think that Bundy is among the most evil men I've ever read about. But I think he is compelling. It's a compelling story.
Extraordinary. I'll watch the documentary now.
It's very good. And it contains a lot of the police officers and a couple of reporters who were with him all the time. I mean, Bundy would say, one of the television reporters, "Hi, how's it going? You know,
It's going that all of that went on for so long. It must be like, you know, going on a presidential tour or something."
Yeah. I mean, and there's one point when he's being read the indictment and he says, "Well, the cameras are here for you. I want them now." So he turns to the cameras. A typical Bundy. Absolutely confident as anything. "I want my turn now. You've got to keep quiet." Do watch the documentary. It is wonderful.
Amazing.
Flattering.
I actually didn't know that much about Ted Bundy, so that was very interesting.
Well, I've been doing Ted Bundy in my live shows.
Oh, yeah, you have, haven't you? Because they're talking about particularly because of the documentary.
Because of the documentary. So it's a story that kind of imprinted on my mind now. But I do think he's America's Jack the Ripper. I'll stick by that one.
So interesting, because it is so much more current,
much
as
more.
Is ever the case with UK and American history.
Yep. Well, darling, what are you doing next week? Let's talk about something cheerful for me.
Thanks. I don't have nothing major. I went to see a play. I went to see The Hunt at the Almeida with Tobias Menzies.
Ooh, well done. Soon to be in The Crown?
Yes, we're all waited with bated breath for more Crown.
Yes, sir.
Can't wait.
I was talking to a friend of mine, Martin Bishop, who's in the Downton spin-off, Belgravia.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing the butler.
Nice, that's a good gig.
Yeah, he's very pleased with it.
Yeah, good gig.
He got offered a role in the Crown, but he couldn't make the audition because he was working. He was very upset about that because he had a role in the first part of The Crown as a politician.
Interesting.
Well, I've got one more book which I like very much. And in fact, I put it in my summer reads column in the Daily Mail this week.
Uh-huh.
It's called Come Back For Me and it's by Heidi Perks. And it's a very, very clever. It's essentially a locked room mystery. It takes place on an island.
I love a locked room.
An island off the Dorset coast. Doesn't exist, of course. It's called Evergreen. And the book begins with a family, of which this young woman is a daughter, suddenly leaving the island in the middle of a storm. No one can understand why. 25 years pass, and a body is dug up at the very edge of the young woman's family's house on the island of Evergreen. The young woman wants to find what's going on. Who is it? Did we have something to do with it? Were we running from something? And she goes back to the island. Now, there's only one ferry on and off the island every day. So when you're on it and you've got to, you know. And it turns into a very, very good locked room mystery.
Well, that looks good, Dad.
Who might have done it? And who? Was it your parents? And who is it? Who's buried? It's very, very good. And I really enjoyed it.
Ah, well, thanks for that recommendation.
Yes, it's called Come Back For Me and it's by Heidi Perks.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Dad. Thanks for a double Bundy bill.
Yes.
And thank you to all the people that help us out. Thank you to Audio Boom. Thank you to Poppy Damon, our producer. My brother Dan, who does the music. My friend George, who drew our picture. My colleague and friend Hannah, who helps me with all things podcast. And most of all, thanks to you, Dad.
Thank you very much, darling. Thank you. I think the most important thing is, you know, keep making it as interesting as possible. And as I say every time, please don't have nightmares. But do be careful out there. You never know. You might encounter Ted Bundy or another Ted Bundy.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Check out our huge in-stock selection of TruBolt door locks. We have a variety of styles and finishes to suit your needs. TruBolt door locks provide homeowners and builders with quality door locks at an affordable price. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save